Our scripture this morning is 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 16, final charge to Timothy. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death
I know. I don't know if I want to get and preach after that. That was solid. That was solid. As people, we are hearts and mind and body and soul, all these things all encompassing. At the center of each of those places within us, I would say there is a throne. There is a throne. And so today I want to know who sits on the throne in each of those places for you. All of us start this process by giving our souls to Christ. That's how we enter into this relationship, enter into the church, into faith. And so we believe in him for our salvation and believe in his power to provide us eternal protection, but that's just the beginning. That's just the start. Discipleship with Jesus is the process of making Christ king of your mind and of your heart and of your body and of your soul, right? King of your thoughts and king of your love and your actions, kind of like what Molly was talking about with the kids. You know, it was in some ways not doing the bad things, choosing the good things. You know, that's kind of this kingship process in our lives. And so this morning is the reminder that we all are in this process of putting Jesus on the throne in all places within ourselves. Paul's words to Timothy in our scripture lesson were, Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the only ruler. He instructs Timothy on how he should walk this path with Jesus, what the path looks like, right? And he tells him how to let Christ reign and rule in his life, that he would pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and endurance and gentleness. Now, none of us have ever lived within a political monarchy. I mean, there might be some of you here who would surprise me this morning. You grew up not in the United States, someplace else. Most of us grew up here. But most of us do live within a spiritual one, a spiritual monarchy. And so a king asks for your servitude. That's what he asks for. And so in exchange for your servitude and loyalty, a king offers protection. That's the trade. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that you are under the king's protection? Because you are under the king's protection, and you can be confident of that. But this morning, I want to challenge you to make Christ the king in all areas of your life. All the areas. And so what aspects of your life are not yet serving Christ the king, right? And so today, the communion table, it demands an answer from you. As you prepare to come close to it, the body and blood of Jesus will draw it out from you as you approach the king's table. The cup calls out to you, and it will reveal to you what you either desire to hide or that perhaps has been hidden from you. And as you approach the table, maybe you'll be made aware through the power of the Spirit where there needs to be greater alignment in your life. Christ isn't king of the places in our lives that we don't trust him in, that we don't possibly want him in yet. Right before our teaching passage that was read to us, Paul tells Timothy to be aware of the love of money. Be aware of the love of money. A love of money can come from many different fears within our lives. It can be a fear of someday being in a situation that you'll never want to be again. Jim, you don't understand. We were poor. We were poor, and I'll never be that poor again, Jim. Never, right? It might be a fear of not having what you or your family needs to be comfortable, right? Especially when you look around you, and man, everybody else seems to be doing okay. I just want to do okay too. Could be a feeling of powerlessness that you have, and the sense that money is power. And having the ability to manipulate others with that power, with those finances. But Paul says to Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Christ my King is enough. He is my gain. So, I mean, maybe that's Jesus' message for you this morning. Maybe that's why you're here. Maybe that's what you need to hear. To follow him as your king and not to follow a money path that is perhaps leading you into places that don't line up with your values. It's not really, you're maybe making a choice right now and it's not really completely who you are. Or maybe the money path does fit completely with your values. Maybe it does fit with who you are. But here's what you need to know. Know that when you choose those values, that there's going to be a cost associated with them. When you choose wrong values, or as Molly talked about, those bad values, they might cost you your integrity. It might cost you a friendship or joy or your marriage someday. Lots of divorces are money fights. Letting Jesus be king over all your life is a difficult decision to make, but he is going to lead you down a better path. That's his goal for us, is that we would go down a better path. And the path is the way of discipleship with Jesus, that we enter onto it. And so Paul tells young Timothy to pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and endurance and gentleness. That is what Christ the King wants for you. And adopting his values will be good gain for you in your life. Not just after death, but in this life. It is for your good gain to adopt those values. They will be a benefit to you and to others around you. The values are, in fact, the richness. They are the richness. You're tremendously wealthy if you have values that shape your lives, that benefit you, that benefit others, that are a source of strength for you. And so this morning, the simple message is that Christ calls you to let him be the king of your life. And in order to be the king of your life, you put him on the throne, first in your soul, then in your head, and in your heart, and in your body, in your actions, and in all that you do, right? And if there is any part of you that has not yet surrendered to him, then surrender it. Give it over this morning. And my prayer is that the Spirit will reveal to you any place that this morning is a stronghold that holds you captive, right? And as you receive the body and the blood of Jesus Christ this morning, you have an opportunity to confess in prayer what you will surrender over today. What you will surrender over to Christ the King, who wants all of you. And so let's pause for just a minute before we come to the table, and let us invite the Spirit to look within us, to give us insight as to where we have not yet made him king. Let's just take a moment and pause for that prayer. Lord, our desire is for you to be king in our lives in all the places. And it's really it's a lifetime. It's a lifetime of work. It's a lifetime of love. It's a lifetime of commitment. It's a lifetime of faith servitude to you as you take these little moments during our week and reveal to us where you're not in charge. And so, Lord, we ask your Spirit to come and to pry those places away from us, that you might lead us into better places. It's amazing, Heavenly Father, the dysfunction and the struggle and the pain and the suffering that comes when we think we know better than you. It seems right, and yet it's really a path to greater suffering. So let us enter into the richness that is you, Christ the King, over all the places in our lives. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Yeah.